Welcome, everybody, to this holiday edition of the Mets News Podcast, brought to you by Sun Records, the history of rock and roll, the book, the ad says it all, just buy it, it's beautiful. We're actually coming up on the, I have to say, 70th anniversary of the Million Dollar Quartet album, which is really what it's all about. Anyway, the New York Giants are in the playoffs. It's really a great thing. The New York Mets signed Carlos Correa, which is another thing, in my opinion, no one saw coming. If anyone saw Carlos Correa coming, then pinch me, because, you know, no one saw it coming. We all thought he was a Giant. James McCann is gone. The Giants could clinch a playoff spot this weekend. All is good. We have advertisements coming up. First, let's hear from the sponsor, Anchor, the history of rock and roll. Again, I tell you to buy the book. And then we got so much to do, so much to do. It's a holiday edition of the Mets News Podcast, just me this week. Let's go, boys and girls. Let's go, boys and girls. Anyway, let's hear from the sponsor, Anchor, during this holiday season. Let's hear from our sponsors. Here we go. This episode of my podcast is sponsored by the Birthplace of Rock and Roll. Yes, Sun Records has come out with a new book, and it is titled The Birthplace of Rock and Roll. It chronicles Elvis Presley's early days, Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, B.B. King. It's just a great book. It chronicles nearly 70 years of rock and roll music. Sun Records has been there from the start. It chronicles the great night when the Million Dollar Quartet played. It chronicles all of Jerry Lee Lewis's sessions before he moved on. Elvis Presley's early days. The foreword is written by the late Jerry Lee Lewis. There are interviews with Jerry Lee up until his dying days. So this is just a great book to get, and I recommend you get it for $59.99. You could have over 220 pages of articles. You also have great photographs. It all around is a great book. And I'm a rock and roll nerd. You all know this. I've done episodes on Jerry Lee Lewis. I've talked about Elvis Presley. This book taught me things I didn't know. And it goes into the history that we didn't know about. All the singers that Sun Records had. Because, you know, the main four get the attention. But Sun Records had a great number of artists that were with them from their start that we didn't know about, that this book shines a light on. So again, I encourage you to get the Birthplace of Rock and Roll book for $59.99. If you would like more information, please visit sunrecords.com. They will answer all your questions. Again, I encourage you, if you want to learn more about rock and roll history, if you want a great book, if you want to see priceless photographs, if you want to hear what the late Jerry Lee Lewis said, again, this was the last book he ever was a part of, I encourage you to visit sunrecords.com and purchase The Birthplace of Rock and Roll. Again, sunrecords.com, Birthplace of Rock and Roll, and we thank them for being a sponsor. And now, let's get on to the episode. Welcome back, everybody. You just heard from our sponsors. Let's get into it. I want to start with the Giants because we never saw this coming. I could say this all day, but no one saw this coming. And if you did, you know, pinch me. Again, I was ranting and raving in last night's Jet game. I watched it. First game I watched on Amazon was a disgrace. I mean, oh my goodness, I'm happy I picked the Jaguars to win that game. You know, happy we picked the Jaguars to win. You know, if you check the Instagram at @Mets_news. Anyway, enough with the dumb voices. The New York Giants, Sunday night, they were like, I think 5-point underdogs when the game started. And I said to my dad, I'm like, Dad, this doesn't make sense. How are the Giants in a divisional game 5-point underdogs? I didn't know if they were going to win. Again, I said on Twitter 50-50. I told my friend Ben Wasserman, who does a lot of great stuff. He's really a great content creator. Also goes to Penn State. I responded to one of his tweets about the Giants. And I'm not a real big Twitter guy. I think that's obvious. I've only been active on Twitter because the Correa thing, which we will get to, shocked the you-know-what out of me. But I tweeted, I was like, you know what? It's 50-50. Like, the Giants have to come out and establish a run game. I said that in my text chat with the draft expert and Coach Weber. I said, listen, the only way the Giants are going to win this game is if they establish a run game. If they don't establish a run game, this game is over. And they did that. And first off, Kayvon Thibodeau, everybody said he was a bust. I had to go on my Instagram comments. Kayvon Thibodeau's a bust. Kayvon Thibodeau stinks. Neal is lazy. This, that, and the other. I have to hear that all the time. Now, we don't know about Evan Neal. Evan Neal, I think, is going to be fine. I think Andrew Thomas went through things like this during his rookie year. I think that's all, again, a debatable thing. But when I hear all the time that Kayvon Thibodeau, he stinks, he's a bust, it makes me want to just rip my hair out. Because let me tell you, this guy's not a bust. And I was just waiting. You could see games that he won for us. The Baltimore game, he won. He upgraded 2 turnovers. The Washington game, he tied. And I know people were saying that the Washington tie is embarrassing. And, the draft expert on my last episode, he said that it was embarrassing. But it really wasn't because, let's be honest, it was perfect. It was perfect for us. It is what we needed. Because now those tiebreakers against, Detroit, and by the way, the Detroit loss now does not look that bad. It really doesn't. I was at that game, as many of you know. It does not look that bad now. This is really, they're going to make the playoffs, if I had to make a guess. The Giants are, too. But the Detroit loss doesn't look that bad. The Seattle loss, if it was at home, I think they win. I think they win if it's at home. So they battled, and they fought, and they won the game. And Daniel Jones, I listened to this guy. He's the Giants insider, and he rants and raves about how they don't trust Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones stinks. I hear this all the time. Listen, I'm not the biggest, and I've done rants on Daniel Jones, but I've also said this. I'm not a Daniel Jones lover. I'm not a Daniel Jones hater. And I said that I said it on my NFL preview this year. I've said it multiple times. I'm not a Daniel Jones hater. I'm not a Daniel Jones lover. I just want the team to do well. And Daniel Jones, he's coming back. Friend of the program, entertainer, said it best. We're bringing Daniel Jones back. If this offensive coordinator, Kafka, and Dable, if they didn't like him, they wouldn't have said, you know what, at a crucial point in the game, I think it's 3-3 or 7-3. I think it was 7-3 because then the Giants took a 14-3 lead. They wanted to say in the game, hey, go for it. Do us a favor. Go for it. Do us a favor. And just effing go for it. And then Daniel Jones tells Richie James, and we all know Richie James, he stinks. He's not our number one wide receiver. Him and Darius Slayton right now, I think, are sharing the responsibility of a number one wide receiver. I think that's a fair argument. I do. But they say, you know what? Go for it. And they did. They did. And then Daniel Jones, my point, 96 yards, 18 plays, ends the second quarter. Giants D was gassed. They were basically off the field the whole second quarter. That drive was like 9 minutes. You notice now during the 2-minute warnings on the national broadcast, NBC, it was great to have a primetime game. It was beautiful. NBC and Amazon, they don't have commercials for the 2-minute warning in the fourth quarter anymore. I mean, yeah. Thought that was fascinating. Anyway, then we get to the fourth quarter. Giants had two. The defense won this game. They did. I've never seen two terrible red zone. Ron Rivera was terrible in the red zone. His coaching. And I get the last play. It should have been offsetting penalties. Kayvon Thibodeau got poked in the eye, and then it was pass interference. Darnay Holmes, he stinks. He's terrible. All right? We all know this. Landon Collins is back on the roster, by the way. Good for him. He stinks. He stinks. That's like the best way I could put it. So the Giants, they get lucky with the call and they win the game. Defense balled out. I think the more depressing drive, if I'm Washington, Taylor Heinicke has no ball security. He had two terrible turnovers. Dexter Lawrence, who deservedly so, is just going to the Pro Bowl. I think a lot of other Giants should have went to the Pro Bowl. I'm a little upset that Andrew Thomas didn't get picked to go to the Pro Bowl. Not that the Pro Bowl means anything, but it is what it is. It's a fan contest. But everyone said that Leonard Williams stinks. And then, like, I'm watching a stream. I have the stream in my one ear. I'm watching the game in the other ear. Watching the game at my house. I got the TV perfectly moved so I could see everything. And basically, what I'm trying to say is, you think that that's not a fumble. Good for Leonard Williams to get on the ball, but you're thinking, oh, that's not a fumble. Dable throws the flag, and I'm like, you know, what is it? First, I'm thinking, what is he doing? I mean, that's not a fumble. But then I'm saying, you know what? Just go for it at this point. You get the fumble, the game's over. Like, you know, I literally said that. You get the fumble, the game's over, because the Giants are going to score. And that's what they did. And then really, great coaching all around. Unlike the Jets, and this is what I'm trying to get at. Unlike the Jets, to wrap this whole thing up, who are not well coached. Robert Saleh is not the guy. I do not see it. I really do not see it with Robert Saleh. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I have no ill will towards the Jets at all. I really want the Jets to do well. When the Jets and Giants both do well, I'm happy. Because that just gives me more things to root for. I'm not a Jets fan, but if I had to pick a second team to root for, it would be the Jets. Jets don't affect me at all. If the Giants aren't into it, go ahead. Go Jets. Really. I'm not in any pain if the Jets win a Super Bowl. I'm not like one of those Giant fans that want the Jets to do bad. I was laughing last night during that interception, that kickball interception, when they had the fourth down and they were driving. It was just like the guy kicked it out of the wide receiver's hands and there's no one to run. I've never seen that before. I was laughing so hard when I saw that. But unlike the Jets, who are terribly coached, who I think their coach is done. If Sean Payton wants the job, I'm giving the job to Sean Payton. Unlike that, who they don't know what they're doing. And then you have the Giants, who are perfectly coached, who have less weapons on both sides of the ball. The Giants, like, you put the Giants and Jets together, I could list the Giant players that are better. Andrew Thomas, Kayvon Thibodeau, Daniel Jones, and I think Graham Gano is one of the best kickers in the league. I think he is. That's just me, though. Maybe Zorlin is better. We don't need to argue about that. But anyway, I don't know if I'm a Jets fan. It's embarrassing, but they're not. The Jets are not well coached. Giants are well coached, and it showed. And with one more win, the Giants are going to the playoffs. There's a scenario if they lose out, they could still make the playoffs, and that's plausible at this point, very plausible. All right, on to the Mets. My beloved Metsies. Anything happened in Mudville last week? Remember, they used to be called Mudville in 69 when they won? The Joy in Mudville? It was a book I read in high school. Found it in the library one day. I was walking to my high school's library, and I was like, okay, let's see what they got in the sports section. Found this book, The Joy of Mudville. Read it in like a week. It was a great book. Don't remember the offer, but anyone interested, Google it. I get up at 5 in the morning with no alarm. That's so rare for me. I don't even know why I did. I see a group chat, another group chat I'm in. I'm in a Mets group chat, and there's like 50 messages. Bing, 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 bing. I must have slept through it. Because the one that I don't plug my phone in, my phone is right next to me on my bed. I usually plug it in. It's on the end of the bed, all the way on the end. It's not like my room at my apartment. My house, in my apartment, I can put my charger and everything close. So if it rings, I'll wake up. But anyway, didn't wake up this time. And then I'm in another group chat that's called Plan the Parade. Plan the Parade was the most recent group chat. And this guy says, it's over. Oh my gosh. The Phillies don't have a chance. Something like that. I don't remember. And I'm thinking, what? My brain is thinking, what does he mean? Like, it's three. Why is he texting me? Why is he texting in the chat at 3 a.m? All the good free agents are gone. He's texting, oh, it's over. It's over. My brain doesn't think I click on the link. Edits.
John Heyman. Mets reach deal with Carlos Correa.
And I'm like, my brain is not putting it together. I guess my brain was in like a fog. Because I'm thinking, really? Are you kidding me? So I have to make sure it's real. I check my Mets group chat. Let's go. We got Carlos Correa. Let's effing go. Carlos Correa. And then my one guy puts in like, how the blank did we get Carlos Correa? There's just no way. He was going to be a Giant. We all thought it. We all thought it was a pipe dream at first. Because when I was going home for winter break, I joked at my dad because we bought season tickets. Very happy about that. We bought season tickets. I joked him. I said, those tickets are going to shoot up in value if Carlos Correa comes. Little did I know, we were going to get Carlos Correa. So I'm thinking, like everybody else, is this real? I'm checking Twitter, and it's just John Heyman. It's just John Heyman. Like, there's no one else. There's no... what's his name? Jeff Passan from ESPN. I like Ken Rosenthal. I trust Ken Rosenthal more, just a little bit, because I think it's because I know Ken Rosenthal, because he was on MLB Network all those years. So I know Ken Rosenthal a little more. He's a little more trusting to me. But, you know, the other guy, too, is trustworthy, too. It's not like... It's like a 1A, 1B. You know, those guys tweet, it's real. Just like if Schiff tweets in the NFL, you know it's real. I legitimately felt like, oh, my goodness, this can't be real. This cannot be real. This cannot be real. Like, are you kidding me right now? I texted my other buddy who's a Mets fan. We go to a lot of games together. I just scream, what is this? Are you blanking kidding me? It was a daze. And then I get up at 8 in the morning. I fell back asleep. I get up and I turn on MLB Network. It's real, baby. The Mets got Carlos Correa. They stole him in the middle of the night from the Giants. And no one thought this was coming. And if you listen to my podcast, I said the Mets needed a big bat. I loved re-signing Nimmo. I loved it with all my heart. Go check the archives. I said the Mets needed to re-sign Brandon Nimmo. But then I thought, you know what? Go get me like a J.D. Martinez, a Brandon Drury. I don't need Carlos Correa. He just wasn't my top priority. I'm thinking next year we're going to get Shohei Ohtani, so I'm willing to go with Brandon Drury. I'm okay with that. I know some Met fans, all right, we can disagree. That's okay. I'm willing to let the young guys get a shot. When the Mets get Carlos Correa, by Steve Cohen in Hawaii basically having cocktails. And by the way, I love Steve Cohen. Steve Cohen is the best owner in all of baseball. There is no debate. I love Steve Cohen. I just love him. Thank you, Steve. You want to know what? This, before we go to the whole Hawaii thing, he's in Hawaii. He's having cocktails. And Scott Boras gives him a call. Hey, Steve, you want to sign Carlos Correa? The deal fell through. Oh, okay. We'll give you 12 years, 315. Done. 12 years, 315. It was done in like 2 hours. It's just like, you're not used to this. And I'm not used to an owner that actually wants to be competitive. And I love that. I love Steve Cohen. I want to thank his wife, because it seems like Alex Cohen, his wife, it just seems like she wanted him too. She knew how important it was for the Puerto Rican fan, for the Puerto Rican infield. It's big for Puerto Rican, a lot of Spanish people in New York, a lot of Spanish Mets fans. She knew this is going to be big for them, but she also knew that the fan base wanted him. The fan base, this is what I love about Steve Cohen. He's on Twitter. Alex Cohen's on Instagram. She follows a ton of Mets pages on Instagram. Really, what other, she listens to the fans. She says, listen, we hear you. We want you. We want you to be happy. We're going to try our best. When she goes and she shows all those stories of all different Mets fans. I really, truly believe the Coens want to fulfill their promise of winning a World Series. And you're just not used to that in professional sports. You're used to the owner walking the talking the talk, but never walking the walk. Mets fans especially. We had to deal with Jeff Wilpon. Like, come on. We know Jeff Wilpon. We're going to spend. It was Sandy Alderson. No, nothing ever happened. This, to me, proves that they'll do whatever it takes. And how do we know the Mets are going to stop spending? Steve Cohen said, well, you know, if you believe The Athletic, my wife told me that this would be big for the Spanish fan, part of the fan base. And not just that, it shows to the whole fan base in general, I'm on Twitter, that we want to win. Not only is this a big opportunity marketing-wise, because it just, it markets two of the best Puerto Rican baseball players in the league right now, possibly ever. You don't know at this point. Both guys are, at least Correa's on track to win, to go to the Hall of Fame. He's a World Series champ. He has great postseason numbers. He's a Platinum Gold Glove winner. I mean, this guy's going to the Hall of Fame, but Francisco Lindor, if he has a couple good more, if he has a couple more seasons, is on his way. He needs a championship to go along with it, but he's on his way. I really, truly think Steve Cohen, when he said, I mean, you'll remember it, forget about the marketing for a second. When Steve Cohen said, I want the fans to be happy. I want the fans to know that we're going to win. And I, when I make a promise, I don't break it. And he also said this, and this is something that he meant, obviously. Obviously, he meant it. When he said, I want to make millions of people happy. And this is just a great opportunity. I guess he meant it. Because look at his payroll. We're going to have close to a $500 million payroll. Listen, I can tell you how happy I am with Steve Cohen. All I want. But think of this lineup. Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil, Brandon Nimmo, Francisco Lindor. Oh, God. You got a platinum shortstop moving over to third. Like, oh, the all-stars, the bench. There's no more James McCann. Oh, thank God James McCann's off this team. He stunk. He's probably a really nice guy. He looks like a nice guy. He does a lot of things for charity. But, oh, my God, as a baseball player, one of the worst baseball players we've seen since Jason Bay. My point is, the Mets have to win the World Series now. They have to. Everybody knows it. I know it. You know it. We don't have to go into the details. Everybody knows that the Mets must win a World Series. They're the favorites, and they're gonna have a target on their back, and that's okay. And Steve Cohen will do whatever it takes to win. That's what this signing shows. The Coens are in it to win it, and as Mets fans, we love it. If any Met fan's upset about this signing, you're not a true Met fan. This is what we dreamed of since Steve Cohen took over the team. A true Mets fan sitting in the stands in the 1969 World Series. That's what we wanted, and that's what we got. As always, you got to believe in Uncle Steve. That's how we're going to end things, guys. From all of us here at the Mets News Podcast, so really just me, but the draft expert, to Coach Weber, all the guests that have come on. We want to wish you a happy holiday season. Next week will be the best of the Mets News Podcast. I'm going to give you 3 hours, my top four favorite interviews. And I'll give like a 10-minute spice up of why I like it. And if there's any more Mets news, if the Giants clinch a playoff spot, we'll do 5 minutes on that. But through my 4 years, I wanted to do this last year, but I got really sick with the flu. Like, really sick. You guys remember when I did that podcast, how terribly congested I sounded. But I'm going to do a best of podcast, my favorite interviews in my 4 years of doing the Mets News Podcast. And this podcast means a lot to me. We're growing to my 6,000 listeners, in the range of 6,000 to 10,000 listeners. Thank you so much. This means a lot to me that the podcast continues to grow and thrive. The Best Of Podcast will be out next week. Mets fans, we have an owner that loves us. We have an owner that will do anything to help win a championship, and that's what we were dreaming of. Thank you to Steve and Alex Cohen. Thank you to the listeners during this holiday season. This has been an edition of the Mets News Podcast. Have a good Christmas, everybody. Have a good Hanukkah if you celebrate like myself. Have a good Hanukkah to my Jewish friends. Have a good Christmas to my Christian friends. Have a good holiday season to whatever you celebrate. Spend time with your family. Enjoy. Rest up. Get ready for a lot of fun this baseball season. Get ready for it. We're all ready for it. Next week, of course, will be the Best Of Mets News Podcast. And if the Giants clinch a playoff spot, I will do about 5 to 10 minutes of why this is a big deal for Giants fans. Till then, guys, stay safe, have a good one, and have a happy, healthy holiday season.